Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
The Women in Sport podcast with Ger McCarthy on the Big Red Bench.
Welcome to a new episode of the Big Red Bench's Women in Sport podcast. I'm Ger McCarthy and you can follow my Instagram and Twitter accounts on @GerMcCarthy74. On this week's show, I speak to the new FAI Regional Development Officer for Kerry and highly regarded coach, Chelsea Noonan. We'll also hear from SuperValu Community and Sponsorship Manager, Mairead Cremin, about all the great work SuperValu is carrying out in local Cork communities and their ongoing sponsorship of Cork Ladies Football. Also on this week's show, we'll hear from Cork Senior Footballer, Orla Finn, Cork LGFA Minor Manager, Joe Carroll, plus Cork Senior Camogie Bannister, Paddy Murray, and Under-16 Camogie Manager, Donie Daly. That's all to come on another Big Red Bench Women in Sport podcast. Chelsea Noonan begins a new role as the FAI Regional Development Officer for Kerry later this week. A coach with a growing reputation, Noonan intends to put all her experiences that she's gained over recent years to good use.
Delighted to be joined now on the Women in Sport podcast by the new FAI Regional Development Officer for the Kerry region, Chelsea Noonan. Chelsea, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Ger. Delighted to be here.
First of all, congratulations on the new role. It sounds like you're going to be very, very busy and you've got a lot of work ahead of you, but it's something that you're very, very passionate about, which is coaching and coaching women's soccer.
Yeah, 100%. Like, since I was probably 12 or 13, all I ever wanted to do was work as a member of the FAI and working particularly in grassroots football and developing players from a young age. So it's an ideal role for me now.
Now, you start this week. Do you know what the role entails and what kind of work you're going to be doing on the ground itself?
Well, initially, because we're straight into summer camps now, beginning on the 28th of this month. So the first couple of, I suppose, 8, 9, 10 weeks will be predominantly working on the summer camps and ensuring they're all running to the best of the ability, I suppose, given the current climate and making sure all health and safety regulations are followed and government guidelines. But I suppose post-summer camps, initially, it will be getting into the schools, making myself known to the Kerry region, because obviously I'd be fairly well known in Cork, but Kerry, I suppose, it's a different ball game down there. So getting myself introduced, getting into schools, into clubs, and trying to put some new programmes and some existing programmes in place to really develop grassroots football down in Kerry.
It almost sounds like a cliche, but I mean, just like Cork, there is a huge, huge amount of talent and talented footballers playing soccer in Kerry. You'd be hoping to tap into that.
Oh, 100%. Like, I always kind of say Kerry is kind of an untouched region in many respects. So Darren O'Hearn, he was the regional development officer. He's now gone to high performance roles down in Kerry. And he's done Trojan work down there over recent years. But because it's such a vast and remote region, I think there are still many parts of Kerry that probably could do it a bit more work. So I'm looking forward to kind of putting my own stamp on the development down there and really bringing up Kerry in the footballing world.
Your background, Chelsea, obviously is in coaching, and we would have previously spoken back in 2019 about the Gaynor Cup when the Cork Women's and School Girls Soccer League finished fourth overall that year. You obviously enjoy the role. It's obviously something you're passionate about, but how much of the work you've done with a Gaynor Cup level and with the Cork Women and School Girls League is going to stand to you now?
Oh, it's everything, to be honest. Like, it was probably my first coaching gig was up to under 12 league centre when I was about 14, up in Garrydoe. So I spent about 10 years coaching within the CWSSL across different age groups, from the Gaynor Cups, as you said, right up to the under-19 Cork Interleague team. So I got unbelievable amount of experience there through both the coaches I've worked with, being the manager of some teams and having to delegate the role to my own coaches then that would have been in with me. And like just working with a seriously vast amount of players over the last 10 years, it's outstanding to me greatly. And I did cherish my time there, so that's a big thanks to the Cork League for all the work they put into me and all the help they gave me along the way.
And following on from that, you got to work at Cork City with the under-17s. Another step up the ladder and another valuable experience, I would imagine.
Yeah, definitely. So I was actually with Treaty United under-17s the year previous and had a brilliant year there working under Irene Hare. So I learned a lot of valuable information from her as well. And of course, back in my playing days, I would have played with Cork City. So I suppose it was kind of nice to do a full circle and come back to where my home club, I suppose. And going coaching there under Sarah Healy.
you're a successful female soccer coach, but is the number of female soccer coaches increasing from what you've seen? Is there more of an interest in it now? Because there seems to be a pathway through the FAI for anyone that does want to pursue it as a career.
Definitely. Like, I suppose, I remember when I was growing up, there was very few female coaches that you could have named off that would have been in the limelight, say. Like, you'd have the likes of maybe Sue Rowan and Pearl Slattery, Laura Q back at the time. But that would kind of been the tipping point of it, if I'm honest. Whereas now, I actually was the first female UEFA B licence in 2019. And I was on that, so there was 24 female coaches that actually completed the B licence together. So the volume of coaches coming up the ladder, especially in the female realm, it is really, really increasing. So even now, there's I'm actually currently on my UEFA A licence, but I know there is the Elite Youth B female-only licence going on now. So that's another step up the ladder for a lot of the coaches that would have been on the female-only B licence. So definitely, it's a big shout out to Niall O'Regan, who's the head of the coach education department. He's really, really pushing on with the female in sport and trying to give, I suppose, the females as much opportunities as the male as their male counterparts get.
How intense are those FAI coaches? Courses, apologies, Chelsea, because you hear a lot about them. Niall O'Regan is somebody, as you said correctly, who's been promoting them for a long time. How intense are they, and why would you recommend them to somebody that's interested in getting in and becoming a female soccer coach?
Look, they are intense, but you're guided through every single step. So it's not a case that you'll get your workload and it's kind of, right, go on, we'll talk to you in 6 months' time or whatever. Like, every step of the way, your tutors, your fellow classmates, for want of a better word, there's kind of like little groups and little video chats, or even in between courses, sitting down after dinner, having a cup of coffee, you'd learn valuable insights into other people's experiences. And say you might do something a certain way, but you might hear of someone else doing it a different way, and it might spark a fire in your mind to be like, oh, I can actually alter this. But definitely get onto the coaching ladder as soon as possible, especially for players as well as coaches. Because when you see the game from a coach's point of view, from these courses, it would improve your game as a player. So I know throughout the National League now, I think it's the PDP1s and PDP2s are free to all League of Ireland and National League clubs, should they want it. So I think that's a brilliant initiative, once again, from the Coach Education Department. But highly recommend any of the courses to anyone who has any interest in football whatsoever.
Yeah, and I think that's great to hear, because never before has Irish women's soccer been to the forefront as much as it is now. It still is a long way to go to get up with the male counterparts, I accept that. But when you see the Irish under-19s getting plenty of media coverage recently, when you see the Irish national team under Vera Paugh, it must be heartening for somebody like yourself who's been on the ground for so long to finally see an increase and maybe generating more interest and hopefully generating more younger players and a new generation coming through.
That's it, yeah. So I suppose it's easy, and it has been easy for us here involved in women's football in Ireland to look at our closest neighbours, the UK, and how prominent it is over there. But that's been 50, 60, 70 years of hard work on it to build what they have over there. And we're getting there, especially over the last 10 years. The increase, as you said, is massive in media coverage. And the 2020 campaign probably had a lot to do with that as well. But we are getting there. It's a slow road, but we don't want to rush it. We want to get there and do it right. So I suppose that's the main thing. We are getting there, and not too long more now to go before we're where we want to be, I suppose.
Very well said. And just finally, Chelsea, obviously you're going to be busy. You're going to be very busy over the coming months and years. It's clear from the way you've been explaining it. But it's obvious too that you're looking forward to it. But what are you hoping to achieve as the FAI's Regional Development Officer in Kerry?
I suppose it's probably going to sound cliche, but I want to light a fire in all the young kids down there, that they have the love for football that I have. So my biggest thing would be getting into the primary schools and setting that love for football then, because that was when I found it. And I feel if you find the love for football at that young an age, you never lose it. Even if they choose to go off and play other sports or go down a different career path, I just think that love for football is such a big thing. And in addition to that, so my priority would probably be getting into the primary schools, as I said. But I also want to get a few more Football for All programmes running down there. As far as I know, there's only maybe two or three at the moment, and Kerry's a big region, so I'd really like to try and push for a couple of more Football for All locations down there, because look, football's a sport that brings everyone together, and everyone should have a place that they can feel comfortable to play it. So they'd be my two priorities going into the role.
The Big Red Bench.
Game on.
Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
SuperValue Community and Sponsorship Manager Mairead Cremin spoke to the Women in Sport podcast about SuperValue's role in local Cork communities, as well as some upcoming and exciting new initiatives. Earlier in the week, I caught up with Mairead to talk about a wide range of subjects.
Now, we're delighted on the Women in Sport podcast to be joined by Mairead Cremin, who's the Community and Sponsorship Manager for SuperValue. Mairead, tell us about your role.
Well, I suppose I've been working with SuperValue Musgrave for the last 12 years, and in the role I'm currently in, it's all about community sponsorship. So my role is all about supporting our retailers within their communities and helping to make our communities better. So it's about ensuring that our sponsorships of the All-Ireland Football Championship, SuperValue Tidy Towns, our partnership with Cork LGFA, and As I Am, are focused on one clear goal, which is about making our working together to make our communities better places to live. And that's very much about at the core of everything we do in SuperValue. It's all about community and making our communities better.
Yeah.
That's my role in the snapshot.
Yeah, that encompasses quite a lot, Mairead. So you're obviously very busy, but what is it exactly within the sporting community, because you are quite prominent, that SuperValue does?
So I suppose, look, SuperValue, you know, we've been working with communities for a long time, over the last 30, 40 years. And each year, SuperValue stores invest over 1 million in their local GA clubs. And that's across all ages and disciplines. I suppose, in fact, SuperValue retailers as well, over the last number of years, have been on the sidelines of any kids playing football, be it with little boys or girls, and you will see that we've donated over 165,000 footballs to underage clubs across the country. And we worked with the GA. Our aim here was to keep our kids healthy and strong and try and put a football in the hand of every child in a GA club. So, you know, I get a great sense of pride when I'm standing on the sidelines to see my daughter and her friends, you know, giving it of their all and kicking around SuperValue football. And I suppose the other thing when it comes to it is local support is done week in, week out at a local level. And it's done by retailers that really, really love their clubs, and their clubs mean the most to them and to their shoppers and their community. There's some great stories like Liam Ryan of SuperValue Grange, and Toker and Frankfield, who recently announced their sponsorship of the Glanmire Ladies Football Club. And that brings 12 clubs across GA, Camogie and LGFA that they support across Cork City and County. We also have Tom Scally, who's probably best known for being the proud father of Emer Scally, who's on our Cork LGFA panel. But he's also the owner of SuperValue Blackrock, and he's been a very active supporter in the ladies' game, especially in Blackrock and St. Michael's LGFA, and also with Blackrock Camogie. And I suppose there's so many examples support even at a local level. I said I'd be here all day dropping names and still miss them. But, you know, I've often been asked why SuperValue retailers do what they do. And it's very simple, because they work in these communities, they live in these communities, their kids play in these clubs, and it's really important for them to make sure that the clubs are as strong as they possibly can be, to, you know, instill that opportunity for kids to grow, to nourish, to make those lifelong friends and bonds that really do make a difference.
Yeah, and as you said, there's so much that SuperValue does, and it's great to hear that. But what about the future, just finally, Mairead? Because obviously you've got a lot of things coming down the line, but in the immediate future, what can we expect from SuperValue in the sporting community?
So I suppose when it comes to supporting women in sport, we are very, very passionate about our sponsorship of the Cork LGFA. We have been the main sponsor since 2015, and this is something that we are so proud of. We are a Cork-based company. Many of my colleagues have direct connections with the LGFA. I mean, it's amazing. Our Ciara O'Sullivan, 8-times All-Ireland winner, works directly with us in Musgrave. And she is something that, you know, a major role model for girls and to be looking up to. We also, you know, we really do work well with them. What we're doing this year is we're really going to be getting more involved with the girls, promoting them, supporting them. We're working behind the scenes to really understand, you know, what they need and what we need to help them with. And we have been doing that, you know, for the last number of months. There's a big match coming up on the 26th into the final of the league. We really want people to get behind them. We want to be able to showcase the dedication and quality that these girls have, and really promoting that. And that's what we will be doing over the next number of weeks and months.
The Big Red Bench. Game on. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Orla Finn contributed 1-8 of Cork's winning total in last weekend's National League semi-final victory over Donegal. The Kinsale forward is enjoying another stellar season and spoke to the Big Red Bench Women in Sport podcast about Cork's upcoming National League final with Dublin.
Okay, delighted to be joined now by Cork senior footballer Orla Finn, following on from Cork's fantastic and hard-earned victory over Donegal in the National League semi-finals. Orla, thanks very much for joining us on the Big Red Bench and the Women in Sport podcast.
No problem at all, Ger.
First question, how are you? Because you shipped a couple of heavy challenges in that Donegal victory.
Yeah, no, all good. I got a heavy knock to my knee, all right. There's a lot of bruising and swelling, but I'm hoping that it's just a bruise and nothing more than that. So a few days now of rest and hopefully I'll be good to go again.
That's very, very good to hear. I know you're not a person who likes the personal accolades, but you did take home the player of the match against Donegal. You've had a great season, 3 points against Tipp, 7 points against Dublin, 8 points against Waterford and 1-8 against Donegal. What do you put down that form and that scoring form to this year? Because you're playing in quite a different team.
Yeah, I suppose it's kind of all just work rate, really. You know, that's one thing Efi sets out for us at the start of every game, that we all must work hard and have the right attitude, really. And I think as a team, we're all improving with each game. So hopefully now we can take that forward and bring it up another step in the final against Dublin.
Donegal were a step up again on everything, including Dublin, that you'd played earlier on in the league campaign. Real physical, hard-hitting game. How much has that performance and victory brought you on?
Yeah, an awful lot. And I suppose the Donegal game was a very physical and fast game, and it will really stand to us going forward onto the championship as well. And I'm just delighted that we got that step further onto the league final. You know, the more competitive games you can get coming up to the championship, the better. So we're really looking forward to that.
Are you glad of the break, though, in between, the fact that you'll have a weekend to recover?
Yeah, definitely. It's been all go, really, for the last few weeks. And as players, we love playing matches week after week. But, you know, you pick up a knocker, you know, the few girls a little bit injured and coming back from injury, that the extra week will really benefit us in that way. So hopefully now with the week's rest and recovery, that it will stand to us.
It's a different forward line this year. I know you're in the full forward line the last couple of games, but this time last year you would have had Áine Terry O'Sullivan, Dearan O'Sullivan and Saoirse Noonan in front of you. Does the fact that Cork have been able to keep up the consistency and keep delivering victories apart from that one Dublin game show just how strong the panel is?
Yeah, it just shows what talent we have. We have some great girls coming up. You know, size has really stood out for us this year as well. You know, her confidence and everything, it has been much, much higher than the last few years, and that's exactly all she needed. But, you know, it's given the girls, there's a few girls out due to injury, which has given other girls a chance to step up and perform, and the girls that are in the full forward line now are doing exactly that. So, you know, having that much competition for places is what makes the team so successful. So hopefully we can keep up that competition and drive on for our places. You know, no one's place is secure, which is exactly what you want, really.
And that's been the hallmark of the Cork senior setup for some time. As long as you're involved, Orla, you had to force your way into that team and then maintain that performance to stay there.
Yeah, I suppose you have to. You know, when you have young talent coming through as well, you have to keep performing at training and at matches, because no one's place is a definite. Like, so I suppose that's what makes the team so successful, and we're lucky to have that. We're lucky to have the young girls coming up through the ranks as well.
Now, 2 weeks' time, Dublin, again. It's not like you don't know each other at this stage, but could I put it to you that you bring the best out of each other? The last 3 or 4 matches, the times that you've played, there's nothing in it, but you actually do push each other to the absolute limit and bring the best out of one another.
Yeah, I thought it was a great game against Dublin. They bring great physicality and fitness and strength to the matches. They're the ones setting the standard, you know, over the last 2 years, being All-Ireland champions. So we're just trying to pick up training and match and our performance in matches as well. Just try and give it our all and bring up the intensity. And, you know, if we can do that and if we can match them physically, you know, we will hopefully be, it will probably be a good game in 2 weeks' time.
Yes, because it's always close. And I think the fact that you're getting closer and closer to them after that epic in Páirc Uí earlier in the season, what was that like to play in? I mean, it was just breathless to watch it, but from a player's point of view, it must have been equally so.
Yeah, I think the most positive thing I've taken out of that was that we were down 8 points at one stage, and we actually brought it back to a point, which was really good to see. You know, over the last few years when we played Dublin, even in the All-Ireland final last year, we had a very good first half, and then they went up on day four at one stage. But in the league final, where we kind of brought it back from 8 points down to bring it back to losing just by a point, it was brilliant to see that. So hopefully we can bring that attitude forward with us to the league final.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.
The Cork senior camogie team was defeated by Galway 119-117 after extra time in last weekend's National League Division 1 semi-final. Despite that loss, there were plenty of positives to take from a cracking encounter and a productive league campaign. Let's hear from Cork senior camogie manager, Paddy Murray.
Now, disappointment for the Cork senior camogie team losing after extra time to Galway in the National League semi-finals at the weekend, but that doesn't mean there's still a huge amount of positives to take out of that game and the campaign in general. Joined now by Paddy Murray, the senior manager. Paddy, commiserations on the defeat, but as I said there, a lot of positives to take, not just from the weekend, but what's gone before as well.
Yeah, look, I suppose first of all, disappointed to lose against Galway, particularly in extra time. You know, we would have liked to get to a final, but look, it is what it is now. But I suppose looking back on it, you know, I think we've got plenty out of the league, to be honest.
You mentioned in your aftermatch comments about the physicality and the test that Galway provided Cork with. That's better than a number of training sessions, I would imagine, and is going to stand to you when the All-Ireland series starts.
Yeah, certainly it will. And I suppose, look, I thought we stood up to it well enough in certain areas. Okay, there is other areas that, you know, we need players to probably front up a little bit better. You know, I thought our backs did well, to be fair. Maybe, I suppose, one area that you're probably conceding too many frees, but other than that, I thought they played very, very well. You know, I think we need more out of our attack. Going forward, if we want to get to an All-Ireland final and win an All-Ireland final, I think we probably need more from that department.
Does it surprise you that the four semi-finalists, including yourselves, Galway, Tip and Kilkenny, looked like they were so close and there's not really that much between you?
Yeah, I look at the top four. I think Galway are ahead. I think Galway are ahead of the rest, to be honest. You know, I certainly think that the new rules have suited Galway because they're a very, very big physical team. I think the new rules have separated the top four from the rest, to be honest. And I probably always thought that was going to happen. You know, but I think Galway are the number one team this year to win the All-Ireland.
And just mentioning the All-Ireland, the draw for the opening phase of that was made. What do you make of Cork's opponents in the draw?
Well, I suppose I'd like to have had a Kilkenny or Galway in our group, because if we give you that extra, you know, tough game, I think they're in an ideal position, both of them. You know, but look, we're obviously looking to top our group, and they neither go to a quarter final or semi final. I think it goes into a draw again, which is similar to the league. So after winning a group, you could still be in the quarter final. So, you know, but the key for us is to win all those games.
How happy are you with the overall progress of the panel, the entire panel, since the league began ahead of that All Ireland series?
I think we've improved. I think the younger guys still have a bit to go. I think the understanding of the setups and the various different positional, you know, like players playing in a certain position, just getting used to that. I think younger guys still have a bit to go there. But I think overall, you know, I thought our fullback line played very well under extreme pressure at times. It was an area that probably we were light, probably going into the league this year. So I think they played, you know, look, I think that that across the board, I think particularly our two footballers after playing the day before were outstanding. I think the key with our younger guys though is how much they improve now in the next 6 to 8 weeks. I think that would be key for us this year. Well, we are facing an Munster semi-final in 2 weeks' time against Tipperary, which will be no easy game. So we're straight into a Munster Championship. We would obviously like to win that. So we're out again the following week. So this year we actually don't have any break. We are training Tuesday, Thursday this week, so nothing will change from that side of things.
Is it a bonus to have the Munster Championship beforehand and a game every week, or would you rather a break?
Oh, I think it's a bonus because I think, nothing better than games. Mm. And they're tough games. Like Tipperary will be a tough game. So, again, it just gives us a chance to probably, change things up a small bit. Look, we'll have a good look at the Wex or the Galway game, and we may change a few positions and things like that. So it just gives us that chance to experiment there.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
The Cork Camogie Under-16s got their 2021 Munster Championship campaign off to a winning start thanks to a 6-15-2-12 win over Tipperary last weekend. The Big Red Bench Women in Sport podcast got the thoughts of Cork Under-16 manager Donie Daly.
Oh, we were, Ger. When you scored 6-15 in any game, you have to be happy. We were delighted. The scoreline aside, we were happy with the performance. The girls, you wouldn't believe that these girls were in together for 3 weeks. When we just said afterwards, had we these girls for 8 months, we would have been delighted with that performance today. We played 8 subs, obviously, because it was such a warm day, and the whole 23 girls, it was seamless. One on, and there was no reduction in tempo, no reduction in hunger. So look, we started slowly. Tipperary, I suppose, were that bit hungrier for the first maybe 10 minutes. We got a few early scores, kind of settled us. But once we kind of got into our stride, there was, Tipperary couldn't live with us, to be honest. And it was a good Tipperary team. Despite the fact we scored 16-15, they are a very good team. They were hungry, they were strong. But our girls, it was an unbelievable performance, to be honest. Led by Millie Condon in the half-back line. Millie was immense today. There was no ball, I think, past her flower.
And Donnie, just from your point, just before we talk about those performances, the conditions, we have to mention them. It's the hottest day of the year. It must have been hard going.
Oh, it was unbelievable, Ger. It was torturous. For the girls to put up 21 scores like that in that heat and that intensity for 60 minutes is a testament to them. Some of them were as most of them. They were almost as fresh coming off the field as they were going on. It was real championship hurling, real championship Sunday. But it was hard. I tell you, the conditions were hard. But to be honest, if you saw them in the last 5 minutes, last 10 minutes, you'd say, had these girls played any game? Not because of the intensity of Tipperary, basically the level of fitness and I suppose hunger out of these Cork girls.
Okay, Donnie, so you've gotten a win on the board. What's next now for the Cork Under-16s?
Next week, we have a break now. Next week, the girls, Tipperary, are playing Waterford in Tip, and then the following week, we're playing Waterford away. We've team building in Ballyhass next Sunday, so we'll take them away. We're going to Yall Tuesday night for maybe a bit of a swim, a bit of fun. We'll train Tuesday night as normal. Thursday night as normal. And look, the girls, they deserve a break after what they did today. So look, we'll play Waterford on the 27th. And look, if we win that, obviously then we're through to a semi-final, or if we're unlucky, maybe we might be put into a quarter-final. But look, it's clear for still, depending on the Waterford and Tipperary game results, if Waterford beat Tipperary, or Tipperary beat Waterford, we'll come on to the last game between ourselves and Waterford, see who tops the group. So we won't take anything for granted yet, Joe. We'll take every game as it comes.
The Big Red Bench. Game on. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
The 2021 Cork LGFA Minor Football Panel has been announced. Ahead of a talented group's upcoming Munster Championship, I spoke to manager Joe Carroll and got his thoughts on Cork's chances this coming year, as well as the fact his players have no All-Ireland Championship to look forward to.
Cork Minor Ladies Football Team has been announced for 2021 and manager Joe Carroll joins us here. Joe, not an easy decision to finalise a squad of 36 players considering the talent within the county.
No, Joe, a very difficult decision, and I suppose this year it was even made more difficult with all the restrictions because we were playing trials and seven-a-sides and things like that. And there's a big difference between seven-a-side and 15-a-side, and we eventually came to a conclusion that we'd only won 15-a-15 on 15 trial on the 9th of June that we had to pick the panel, but it was an awful difficult decision compared to other years that I've been involved. Very, very difficult. A lot of talent in the county and very difficult, very little between a lot of them to try and figure out, and we could have got it wrong, but hopefully we haven't.
Yeah, it's a nice problem to have, Joe, when you consider that there's so much talent at this level at minor, having come through from 14 and 16, but as you said, not easy. But you seem to have a nice blend from all the divisions and across the different clubs.
Yeah, we seem to have a nice blend from all the divisions and across the different clubs, and I suppose several of them have the players have been involved at under 14 and under 16, which gives a bit of an advantage because they know what intercounty football is about and they know what's involved. And I think like the huge engagement we got even during COVID with strength and conditioning online and so on, and we had a fabulous talk from Breach Corkery that the players were hugely interested in playing minor football from Cork, and it's great to see at that level that girls are still very interested in playing with Cork. I know a lot of them continue to play with our club, but I think there's a lot of fallout as well. But I think we have held the most of our players from 14, 16 up to minor, which is great to see.
Now, you've got two very difficult upcoming games, one at the beginning in July, sorry, and then hopefully a final. Who are you playing and when?
We're playing at the beginning of August. Tipperary is the first match, a very difficult away game for us because Cork played Tipperary under 16 2 years ago, and it was a very, very tight game. And then the Munster final against Kerry could have gone either way, I suppose. Cork looked to have it won at one stage, then Kerry came back into it and looked to have it won well, and Cork finished extremely strongly the same day and won a very tight match at the end. So there's going to be nothing between either of the three teams, I think, to win the Munster competition.
Yeah, it should be a fascinating Munster competition, as you said, because the teams are so well matched. Unfortunately, Joe, we have to talk about it again, but the fact that this group of players have been through so much throughout COVID and don't have an All-Ireland Championship to look forward to is hugely disappointing for yourselves, but not just in Cork, but all around the country.
Yeah, Joe, it is soul-destroying, really. You know, I've been in close contact now with say, the Galway manager and the Kerry manager, who would be two of our biggest opponents, I suppose, down through the years, and I've spoken to them on several occasions over the last couple of weeks, and it's all the strain there as well, like that it's not just about Cork playing in All-Ireland semi-final and All-Ireland final, it's about minor ladies playing in All-Ireland semi-final or final, and the soul-destroying part of this when you see all the boy stuff going on and even more of it, and you know, the reasons that were given by the LGFA are, you could equally make excuses for every single one of them if you go through them as to why it should be played. Mm. So, like, I think that I would still be hoping, even at this late, late stage, that they would reconsider maybe when things progress to the year. And I know there's a kind of competition as well going ahead, and that they would hopefully, and there's a Leinster competition going ahead, so that they would hope that the LGFA might reconsider and play those two matches, even if Cork are not involved, but hopefully we would be.
Yeah, and let's be clear on this. Like, you're not asking for quarterfinals or a round-robin tournament. You're just asking for 2 dates to play semi-finals and a final.
Correct. That's all we're asking for, 2 dates to play the semi-final and final. You play them off on the day. You could play one on a Wednesday, one on a Saturday, one on a Tuesday, one on a Saturday, or something like that to give a few days between them. If they have to go to extra time, so be it. If they have to be penalty shootouts, you finish them. In the soccer, there's World Cups and the rest of it have been decided in penalties and so on, and Man United lost a shootout there lately. They went to 11-11, unfortunately, so my own point of view. But anyway, I wouldn't say anything wrong with that in these circumstances, finishing off the competitions and in that regard. People would accept it totally, but it would just give the bigger focus on ladies football, that it is an absolutely growing, huge sport, and that you need to keep it up there. And, you know, we have lost a few girls. We have a few girls that decided they were going to go to Camogie because they were in the All-Ireland competition. And we have one girl that decided she'd go away playing rugby at the start of the year. I would say a lot of that would have been down to the promotion it's getting. And at national level, the more we can give it, the better. You know, and it's been an awful difficult time for everybody. Everybody knows that. And there's people keep crying about mental issues and mental health and everything. But to me, this is going in the face of all that. It's just totally against it. The people that decided it, I don't know how they came to the decision, but maybe I'm totally wrong, but hopefully they might reconsider again.
That's it for another Big Red Bench Women in Sport podcast. Remember to subscribe to the Big Red Bench on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can also listen online at redextra.ie. Don't forget to tune in to the Big Red Bench with Rory O'Hagan, Colm O'Sullivan and Valerie Wheeler between 6 and 7pm on the radio every Saturday and Sunday. Follow the Big Red Bench across all our social media channels, as well as visiting our official website, redfm.ie.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.